Dodger infield playing back. The right-handed Alvarez is ready. So is Blake Treinen. McNeil goes for second. Alvarez swings. A bouncer to second. Taylor has it in the glove. It's over! It's over! The Dodgers win the pennant! Champions of the National League in 2024! The Dodgers are going back to the World Series!
And the broadcasting world is ecstatic right now. That's courtesy of Fox Sports. As the World Series begins on Friday night, Friday and Saturday, is from L.A. as the Dodgers host the New York Yankees. This is a record amount of time they've been pitted against one another in the Fall Classic. But the odd thing is they haven't done it since 1981. It's crazy.
Yes.
They've faced each other more than anyone in the history of the World Series, but it hasn't happened since the strike season of 81.
I remember it well.
I remember it, too. That was when probably the first World Series I remember, of course, was 1979, but I fell in love with baseball in 81.
Well, I did what only I would do. I was assigned to the game. I was working.
So really?
Because they fly cops in from all over the city to work at big events like this. So I went from Midtown Manhattan to the Bronx. I'm working. Some Yahoo, this idiot, snatches a chain like right in front of me. And, of course, at that time, I could still run. So I run him down, lock him up, miss the entire game. Uh-huh. You know what our job was?
What?
Guard the Dodger wives. I would have been right with the Dodgers families watching the game. I instant in Bronx Central booking.
What year was this?
81.
'81.
Yeah. I was two.
I said they haven't. Yeah. I said they haven't faced each other since '81. He said I was there, so it was '81.
No, I thought. Shut up, Rob.
This is the 12th time they faced.
Hold on, he could have been there the first time the Dodgers and Yankees met.
47. You
know. Brooklyn Dodgers. This is the 12th time they've met. Jeremy, the Yankees are 8-3 in World Series against the Dodgers, but again, they lost the last one in 81.
Oh, man.
None of these players were alive.
Right.
Yeah.
Do I want to? I just saw a map of the U.S., and it says everyone rooting for the Dodgers in red and everyone rooting for the Yankees in blue, and the only two states that were blue were Florida and New York. I guess that's all the snowbirds going down.
What's the color of people who wish both lose? That would be me.
That'd be me, actually.
That would be me.
I mean, of the two.
People who don't give a crap, that would be me.
It's hard. I can't root for the Yankees, and the Dodgers abandoned Brooklyn. I'm still bitter, even though I wasn't born yet.
Well, do you know what it was like for people there? Were they still like rooting for the Dodgers after they left, or was it like piss on them, they're gone?
I can only go by my dad, who was a huge Dodger fan. And
because you were born in Brooklyn.
Yes.
Yeah, grew up there.
Yeah, and then he became a Met. The Mets came in 62, so all of my memory is him being a Mets fan. But, you know, they were pretty bitter. He was real sad the Dodgers left.
Jeremy, I mean, you were really young, but I could speak for that happening here in Baltimore. Hell no, people weren't pulling for the Colts when he left.
Well,
Hell no. I mean, so I can't imagine someone taking your baseball team and you saying, especially in a time where you couldn't watch them on TV and you were completely disconnected from your team now. They went from one coast to the other coast and you were disconnected. It's not like today when we can always watch them on TV. We watch them on our phone, our tablets. They had nothing. I'm sure they weren't on, I don't think they would still be on radio in Brooklyn. So I can imagine there's a lot of butthurt people walking around disconnected from the team.
And now it's a housing project.
Wow. Well, the most impressive thing I saw in the playoffs, did you guys watch the full at bat of Juan Soto in extra innings?
Yeah.
The home run in center field.
Yeah, so if you were watching it with the MLB Network, I got to watch the guys talk about it while it was live, and it was really cool because they go in-game, and you hear like Harold Reynolds, I mean, all the guys that are there talking about the game, and they're just all keep mentioning how locked in Juan Soto is and how he's looking for that fastball. And he fouled off every GD pitch that you could possibly imagine. And he's looking at the guy, and he's got that, you know, bravado. You could see him. He's like, go ahead, throw it and see what happens. And he throws that fastball, and he annihilates the hell out of that baseball. Just like one of those moments where he's going to look so
good. How much did his value go up?
He's the only guy that turned down $440 million in a long-term contract, and it looks like a good idea. it's unbelievable. But
no, his was unbelievable. His was unbelievable. He won't be 26 until this month.
Yeah.
This guy's had an entire career. He is a 7-year vet. And he won't be 26 until the end of this month.
He's going to look so good in blue and orange.
He's already a 7-year vet. 25-year-olds are 4-year vets at best. This guy's been around since 2018.
So I'm kind of curious how they stack the pitching matchups. I just feel like the Yankees are tailor-made for a guy like Jack Flaherty. Have to see how Yamamoto pitches and how they want to stack that up. But remember, the Dodgers are essentially going with 3 starters in a bullpen game.
Yeah.
And then the Yankees, they've got options, but okay, you start off with Gerrit Cole. That's fine. How's he going to do against Gerrit Cole, for as good as he is, still gives up home runs. And what do the Dodgers do? They hit a lot of home runs.
Well, it's Gerrit Cole's defense. He plays in a bandbox. He plays in a builder park.
But I think he's kind of done that even when he was in Pittsburgh and Houston. But again, Houston's a smaller part. Right. Well, it was a smaller part. So,
you know, I'm not
Friday night, by the way, is when it starts.
Yeah. No time yet. No time. Still TBD for both. And I'm looking at his history, Jeremy, of giving up home runs. And he gave up 31 one year in Pittsburgh. That was a bad year for him. ERA was over 4, almost 4.
But it's early on in his career.
Yeah. And then after that, he didn't give up. He gave up 19, then he gave up 29 in Houston, then 14 and 24, and then 33. This year, only 17 starts.
But he missed a bunch of time, too.
Yeah, this year he gave up 11.
Yeah.
And only 17 starts, though. I didn't realize he only had 17 starts this year.
Well, that's why it's impressive what the Yankees are doing. And it's so funny because you look at the Yankees lineup, just so much homegrown talent, like Giancarlo Stanton with the Marlins and Jazz Chisholm with the Marlins and Carlos Rodon with the White Sox and Juan Soto with the Nats and Padres before. I mean, they're just doing a phenomenal job of bringing these guys up and then having them be a part. Gerrit Cole with the Pittsburgh Pirates and Houston Astros started off. They are doing a phenomenal job of bringing up all this young talent that they have and just letting them go to town. It's pretty cool.
Oh, you want to go to the Dodgers? Because they brought up Freddie Freeman. Yeah. Freddie Freeman was a great farmhand for the Los Angeles. No, for the Braves. And what about Mookie Betts
and Boston?
And what about Shohei?
Oh, he was with the Angels.
Yeah, we can go all around. What about Teoscar Hernandez?
Yeah, he started off in Toronto.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's go around the diamond. Yeah. Both of these teams. That's why I hate both of them.
That's fine. I just wanted to trash the Yankees. You didn't have to bring up the rest of it. I knew that was the fact. These are the two of the most highest spending teams in the league. And oh, by the way, the team the Dodgers beat, we're the highest spending with the Mets.
Absolutely. Yeah. I hate this. I absolutely hate this.
But yet, everything's fine because Tampa Bay got there once.
Yeah.
They did.
Baseball's fine.
Tampa Bay got there once. I know. You don't have to worry. You can be a small market team to make it happen. It just happens once every 30 years.
He ain't lying. 410-583-1057 is the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. The Final Four was essentially 3 teams outspending everybody in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I love Stephen Vogt, the manager for the Cleveland Guardians.
I didn't want to because I was a huge Francona fan, and I realized they didn't fire Tito. Tito left.
Yeah.
You can like Vogt.
Vogt, after the game, was like he gave out some quotes talking about mistakes and things that you'd like to take back, and he just I can't dwell in the past of what happened. You put a guy in a situation that doesn't work out, you learn and you move on from it. But he seems like another catcher turned manager that seems like he's going to be a good one.
Yeah, he went all Mark McGwire on.
He went philosophical.
I'm not here to talk about the past.
I'm here to talk about the future. He said it in a better way, though.
Went all Mark McGwire on him. 410-583-1057. Mike Preston joins us at 8 o'clock. The professor will be in. But on the other side, Ravens fans are starting to say that because of the weapons the Ravens have finally given Lamar, the offense is thriving. But is the biggest weapon Lamar? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Well, probably the answer, honest answer, is probably yes. Just because, you know, he's the most far along as he's been, just as a player and development-wise. And he's steadily always. He's that guy that kind of epitomizes what we're talking about there. He's always seeking to improve. He's very much a perfectionist. He wants every play to be perfect. He chases perfection. I'd say yeah, but I think his focus is on the next play, you know, the next game.
That's John Harbaugh answering the question, I should say. Is this the best version of Lamar Jackson? I'll ask you that, Jeremy. He has a lot of weapons, but is this a case of the weapons making Lamar or Lamar making the weapons?
Yes. Now look, I think it's a combination of everything. I don't want to dismiss anything in this game to take away from what the wide receivers, tight ends, running backs have been doing. But everything goes because of eight. I mean, we've talked about this. Lamar has been just absolutely amazing this year. I do think it's the best version of him we've seen.
Right.
And the scary part is, I think he can still get better.
And why do we always, when things get great, we always want to throw shade on one side or the other? Is it Lamar making the weapons? Is it the weapons making Lamar? Why can't it be a perfect marriage?
You came up with the question. What are you asking us?
Because that's how
the cause conversation.
Yeah, that's how sports media is. It's no one ever wins. Everybody loses. Everybody's, you know, it just finally they're making him look like I mentioned Brock Purdy before on the break. The poor guy could do no right, no matter what he does. I get he was Mr. Irrelevant. He's a pretty damn good quarterback though, but it's always got to be. Well, look at what he's got around him. Then he has night like last night, and it's like, ha ha! Like, come on, everybody's a bad game. But with Lamar, I think it's a combination. Lamar is the best football player in the league, in my opinion, without a doubt. He could be the MVP every year the way he's going, and now he's got some, And then you get someone like a Derrick Henry to take the rushing pressure off of you. Where you're not the leading rusher anymore on the team. He gets exponentially better, and I'm with Jeremy. I don't think he's peaked yet.
That's really scary.
It is scary because look how much better he is now than he was just a few years ago.
You know what's amazing though?
And he was an MVP then.
I retweeted a highlight reel of Lamar over the weekend of him making world class athletes look like children. Mm-hmm. And
he looks like the ringer playing in the youth league.
Yeah,
he does. Yeah, he's like you know what he is? He's the first kid to go through puberty when he coaches kids. And it just because there was always that kid on our team where he was like he's getting his man strength and the other kids don't have it yet. That's what he is.
Yeah. It's hitting wide receivers in stride, getting better. He's got great completion percentage, but I think the yak and all the other stuff
will come along.
Yeah,
he'll be a 5,000-yard pass if he got yak.
I don't think it's impossible for him. He's going to be knock on wood. He's going to be a 4,000, 1,000 this year, which nobody's ever done. And then we're going to start talking about can he get to 5. Because I don't know how much – he's never been a big passing yard guy, but that's because of this offense. The offense has changed. Now he can be both. The only problem is if this running game does what it's supposed to do early in the game, you're probably not going to see him throw late. Yeah.
Here's the thing, and I said this last week. You weren't here, Ed. The crazy thing about him is, generally speaking, quarterbacks become more cerebral as the physical skills leave.
Mm-hmm.
He's becoming more cerebral – being just as much as a physical weapon as he's always been.
Yeah.
That's the dangerous part about it.
Yeah.
He's had that epiphany before losing the physical skills. That's a dangerous place to be in.
He also seems very, very disciplined. He always was very cultural. But just the fact he dropped a few pounds in the offseason because he got caught from behind, I think, was on his mind. Now look at him. Because he took the time to actually do it. I got to correct this right now, and he did. He's just awesome. As he goes, the team goes.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Sean in Minnesota. What's up, Sean?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, sir.
You know, I was just thinking about Lamar Jackson and this Ravens offense. And I had this, this thought in my head. You draw a parallel to, in Greek mythology, the Hydra. And as long as the main head of the beast was still thriving, you could cut off one head of another, and two more would sprout up. You know, if they try to shut down the run, you got these wide receiver, these wide outs, and then the tight ends that do their thing, and then try to stop one tight end. You got to, Nelly was really good for getting some yards. Bateman has been insane or has been coming up, and I think Bateman has yet more to show himself. I'm from Baltimore, but like I said, I've been here in Minneapolis for like 5 years now, so I've been banging that Bateman and Falele drum for a minute. Mm-hmm. I'm always rooting for them.
Rob, he said exactly what you said, but it was better.
What's
because
that?
He brought up Hydra and the three-headed monster. And you were talking about Lamar. If they make him one-dimensional, it's still scary. It's essentially the same thing.
Hydra, if you cut off one head, two would grow in that womb.
You got it.
Yeah.
Hail Hydra.
Let's go to Brian in Owings Mills. What's up, Brian?
Hey, good morning, guys. How y'all doing? What a great that was a wonderful Sunday night game, man. We were all treated to almost a 40-point game with two washed up quarterbacks. Well, I tell you, two retired guys going at it. That was
that was really excited, man. But I did get to see the streaker, though. That was the cherry on the ice cream right there, boy. She was hot. and Trump, and I got to see Trump at the drive-thru. How awesome is that? Go, President Trump. But what was you at Friday? He was missing. Ed, we missed you, man. What was you got the tickets early, didn't you?
No, I was cleaning up from the hurricane. My house got whacked.
Oh, sucks, man. Terrible. But hey, what you think, Ed, about your Jets, man? What do you think about your boy Rodgers? Throwing a lot of people under the bus. Oh, I'm sorry, the ship. The ship is sinking.
Yeah, no, I think his physical. The problem, as I said earlier, he's not like Tom Brady, who never had mobility in his game. Rodgers always, he could run. And now that he can't run, I think he can't play. And he's done.
Let's go to Chris in Parkerville. What's up, Chris?
Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How's everyone doing?
Doing well. Doing well. What's on your mind, buddy?
Good. I was just thinking about like what you were saying. I concur with what you were saying about the Ravens and especially Ed, what Ed said. Now, where King Henry came from, he was probably like over 80% of the Titans' offense. Here, there's not much pressure on him, but at the same time, he's relieving pressure from Lamar, so he doesn't feel like he has to do everything. And not only that, I think now this is the second year of Monken's offense incorporated into the whole mix. And I think that's an awesome thing, and we need to keep Monken around. We cannot – I know it's he's long in the tooth and everything, and everyone desires to be a head coach, but man, we need everything to do, if not just for the whole offense and everything, to just come together. And I think Ed's right. I think Lamar is he's going to get better.
Scary. Did you say Todd Monken is long in the tooth?
No.
He's long in the tooth. He wants to be a head coach and all. He's only 58.
I think he misspoke about being long in the tooth. Like, you don't want. He was saying you don't want him to leave. Like, with the fact.
I thought he meant he's getting old.
No, he said he's getting old. He wants to be a head coach. He said, I know he's getting long in the tooth. He wants to be a head coach, but he's not long in the tooth. He's 58.
Yeah, but I just think it was a misspeak. Right? Yeah. Because he was talking like getting long, like meaning that he's going to leave.
I just think he said the wrong thing. Well, he ain't long in the tooth.
Yeah,
that doesn't apply there. He's not long in the tooth. Let's go to Bob and Timonium. What's up, Bob?
Hey, how you cowardly racist son of bitches doing this morning?
Doing well, man. Doing well.
Good. Glad to hear it. Hey, on the deal with Lamar, he's only going to get better with Derrick Henry, Zay Flowers, those kind of guys. But one of the things that I think people have to realize when you're talking about he's more cerebral, you know, Peyton Manning was about his sixth year in the league before he got, you know, where he could pick defenses apart. But you can't do what Lamar does and not see things. You know what I mean? Yeah. In other words, he looks around out there. He's been cerebral, but he just gets better all the time. And I don't know what he sees because I run around the living room, knock the nachos over, cuss people, throw the ball, throw it away, you dumb son of a gun, and then – oh, that's a great touchdown pass you just threw. I agree with it 100%. So I don't know. When you're as talented as him, he sees things completely different. He has to.
Hey, Bob, you know what I figured out? I was watching a Vince McMahon documentary over the weekend or last week. You know who you sound like, Bob? You sound like Stone Cold Steve Austin cutting a promo. How you old racist sons of bitch. You sound like Stone Cold, Bob. Has anybody ever told you that?
Hey, I just brought that up. I heard it on you guys a couple weeks ago. The last thing you said,
When you finish your call, no, just your cadence sound like Stone Cold. From here on out, when you finish your call, we want you to say that's the bottom line. You do that for us?
What's the guy's name now?
Stone Cold Steve Austin. Look him up.
Oh, well, okay. I wasn't a wrestling fan.
Look him up on YouTube. And doesn't he sound like him? Yeah. That his whole case?
He's the guy that would stomp a mud hole in your ass and walk it dry.
He does, man. 410-583-1057. Mike Preston joins us at 8 o'clock. But on the other side, Deshaun Watson goes down with an Achilles and the crowd cheers. Remind you of something, Ed?
No.
Sound familiar?
Sure does.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Just stumbled, and now Watson is hurt. Man. Oh, boy. Immediately clutches at his right ankle. Unbelievable.
That's courtesy of CBS Sports. And Jameis Winston. called them out, the fans out for it after the game. They were also called out by Myles Garrett after the game. And this is what Myles Garrett said about fans. He says booing, what he means cheering after this injury.
No one deserves that. I've seen him work his ass off to, you know, get back here, in here, and you know, put a smile on his face and, you know, try to put everything that's outside the facility behind him. No death threats. People come to his house. People, going after his family. No, like I said, no one deserves that. And I hate using the word deserves. I'm usually, you know, pretty consistent saying earned. He hadn't earned it, and he doesn't deserve it. No, man does pretty much everything right. He's been a model citizen through college and most of the pros. He plays the game as hard as anyone I've seen. Puts everything on the line, willing to throw his body out there, and he plays the game at 100 miles per hour, and there's a risk in being injured, and that he took that risk. But we have to be there for him as a team, as an organization. We can't look down on a guy because of any mistakes on the field or anything off the field. We don't have anything. We don't have any more high ground to look down on a guy.
That's Myles Garrett speaking about the situation. Deshaun Watson, as the fans cheered after he got hurt. Go ahead.
Was he not around for all the sexual assault cases?
No, he was not.
Okay, I'm just curious.
He was not.
He did everything right.
For me, that's like 1988.
Yeah.
I forget that year. I don't remember that year. I don't know why I don't remember it. I just don't remember it.
He's a model citizen except for those attempted rapes. Sexual assault. Yeah, good. Nobody should be booed for an injury or cheered, whatever.
I don't even care if it's the opposing team. It's bad. It's a bad look.
You know,
and certainly not your own fans.
I saw some Ravens fans going in on Cleveland Browns fans.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Preston joins us right now from Baltimore Sun, BaltimoreSun.com. Mike, Ravens fans have never cheered when one of their players went down for an injury, have they?
No, never. I think they forgot about Kyle Bowler.
I think they forgot about Kyle Bowler.
Yeah.
What happened that night, Mike?
I mean, he was stretched out, and the fans started booing him. And I wrote something about it, and the fans just got all over me.
It was September 12th. Was that 2000? Is it 5?
Was that the Colts?
September, let me see.
I feel like it was the Colts for some reason.
I'm trying to find the box score.
But the bottom line is this. That should never happen. You know, we talk about these guys being, we get upset when these guys call each other gladiators. But as fans, sometimes we act like we're from that era. You know, we want them beheaded. We want you know, the finality of them in a situation like that. It's no class whatsoever for that.
There's none whatsoever. I mean, who wants to see people injured badly? Because it's not just, you know, you're not going to play for the season. Look at some of these guys. They're human beings. Those guys, when they get little, look at Earl Campbell. That poor man can't even walk. I mean, as strong as he is and was, it's like, it's just, you don't want to see that.
You want to boo somebody? Boo the owner for giving them the contract.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What's Deshaun Watson supposed to say? No, you know what?
Keep your money.
I'm not playing up to par.
It was the Colts.
I remember going on air the next day saying the Colts bring out the worst in us as fans.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm not playing up to par, so let me give some money back so that all of you can be happy with me. No, I'm not doing that. You paid me.
I don't have a problem with people calling it out, but we were just going over the list. Like, Matt Schaub was booed in Houston or cheered in Houston when he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
This has happened all over the place. It's happened in college. It's happened in the pros. So, you know, like, I get in the moment, like, Cleveland fans don't want him around, and it's the worst signing in NFL history. At the same extent, like, I don't get cheering someone's downfall, like, as far as an injury goes in a sport that they're playing.
Again, he didn't force his way into Cleveland, though.
Yeah.
They paid him. They destroyed the market, actually. Almost.
Well, yeah. Everybody got smart. Yeah.
The only good news for him is he's got to go through rehab now.
They became... Wow. Wow.
What? Nothing. To heal up, to get back.
That's good news. Why is that good news, Jeremy?
Because you got to heal up.
Why is that good news, though?
A lot of massages.
Do you get massages during that? I don't know. Maybe. Do you switch him to men only?
Is it going to matter?
Moving forward? Is it going to matter? I don't know.
So
I should have stayed home.
From my understanding,
well, the world of stupid's next, so good luck with that.
From my understanding, Jeremy, if you got a massage, we don't have to switch you to men only.
I don't care.
It's automatic your request.
There's nothing sexual about it until it gets sexual. I mean, look at the sidelines of the guys that are, like, the trainers that come out that are massaging your muscles. It's not a lot of women that's coming out. Men.
There are more women, though.
Yes, I know, there are women. I know there are, but there are more men.
Leave it to, like about Arnold Palmer.
Leave it to Jeremy to throw a sweeper. Not a slaughter, a sweeper. Not a curveball. You just... Leave it to you to just take it off course there. 410-583-1057 is the number. Go ahead, Joseph.
So a caller wants to know, Jeremy, what's the difference between hating or like cheering for someone's downfall like you are with Deshaun Watson, but then you're also hating on Deion Sanders?
What is that? What do the two have to do?
It's not an injury.
That was what the caller asked.
It's not an injury. He's not saying don't dislike Deshaun Watson. He said don't cheer when a man gets hurt. Jeremy doesn't like Deion Sanders.
Why do people get so butthurt over the fact I don't like Deion?
But that's not even, this is apple to oranges.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's not even comparing the same, like, for example, and by the way, and I've said multiple times to you, and I've said it on the air, I think college football is better when they're good, if they can actually make something happen. But I don't like him. I want to see him lose every game. Best game they played all weekend or all year this past weekend. They handled business against Arizona.
I don't even get how that's a comparison, though. I don't. Who likes Deshaun Watson right here? Who likes him?
Not me. I used to love him.
No one likes him. We just don't want him to get hurt. That's the difference.
Yeah, it's like how do you even compare those things? It's like, do you like Italian food or going to the playground?
He thought he had you. He when he was talking to me, I was like, oh, I got him now.
Well, now you're sitting in your car or wherever the hell you are going, why did I say that? Because it's stupid.
Iron grip of logic.
Antonio Rosedale has a score prediction. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you, man?
Good. It was good to see you yesterday, Bob.
There were some great cars out there, weren't they?
Yeah. My score prediction is 37-27. Go Ravens. And you guys have a wonderful day.
You have a wonderful day too, Antonio. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Mike Preston is here with us. And he'll be here until we wrap this thing up. But on the other side, it's Jeremy Kahn. We get stupid with him.
Yeah, I'm glad that Mike gets to be here for this. We're going to talk about a couple different things. I talk about this every year in October as we get closer to haunted houses and it's haunted house season. We're going to bring up McCamey Manor back in the news as he has decided not to shut down after multiple complaints of violence and traumatizing practices. We'll talk about a kid that went on American Idol. If you guys remember, he was the kid that kissed Katy Perry. He got to walk up and kiss her. Yeah, he just got caught with child porn. And lastly, as we get to all these stories.
Wow.
Former Canadian Olympic snowboarder busted for running a large cocaine ring. These stories about former athletes, and I understand guys fall on hard times. This is crazy. We'll talk about it next in the World of Stupid. All right, let's start off with this. Former Canadian Olympic snowboarder busted for running a large cocaine ring.
It's snow, baby. Snow.
I'm going to make it do what it do. A former Olympic snowboarder is accused of running a major transnational drug trafficking organization that shipped massive, and I mean massive, amounts of cocaine and allegedly hired hitman to murder multiple people. Ryan Wedding, 43, again, a former Olympian from Canada who now resides in Mexico. Cocaine in Mexico? No way! Is among 16 people charged in a federal indictment. The prolific and ruthless organized crime group shipped literally tons of cocaine into the United States and Canada. Wedding, whose aliases, you like this? El Jefe, Giant, and Public Enemy were all his nicknames. If convicted, and obviously with the murder, and if convicted of murder and attempted murder charges, he faces a mandatory minimum penalty of life in federal prison. It's over. Can you guys believe, like, you hear this all the time. We heard, what was it? Was it Nate Newton that got busted with all the pot? We have some other.
Right after he played for the Carolina Panthers, I remember it.
There's another player that didn't spend much time in the league that just got busted for another drug ring. But you're seeing this more and more and more that guys are involved. I've even heard of players that haven't been busted. I was told of a few people that were selling drugs that were in the league. And I'm going, is this real? But you just never know. But this is snowboarder. I don't know how much money a snowboarder makes in their lifetime doing it. I'm sure with sponsors.
You're asking the wrong person.
You don't snowboard?
No.
Rob, Mike? Oh, damn it.
Yeah.
Never mind. Snowboarding?
Yeah.
You make a good living snowboarding?
Big time.
Yeah, because you just so cold.
Until you get caught. Now he's got a permanent resting place. How about this story?
Is he dead?
No, he'll be in jail. Benjamin Glaze, he was the singer who went viral on American Idol. He smooched Katy Perry. He was just busted with a massive stash of child porn. Let me turn the picture around because you guys are going to go, I see it. But nobody saw it back then. Skinny little guy. He was on American Idol. And I don't even remember how the whole scene started with Katy Perry and kissing him. But it's like, be careful of, I guess, everyone. You don't know anybody.
I thought she kissed a girl and liked it.
She did, but then she tried it with this guy and she didn't like it. So Benjamin Glaze, 26, was arrested by the Tulsa Police Department following a six-month investigation. The Department of Sexual Predator Digital Evidence Recovery Unit obtained a search warrant for his home, where the officers recovered a phone, including more than 700 pieces of child sex abuse material. That's just disgusting, man. Like, you guys working in the industry, and I know you've worked with some people in, the sexual crimes or whatever, we had a guy that used to come in WNSC all the time that worked as a police officer on that unit, just sex crimes. Mm-hmm. And he said it's just one of the most gut-wrenching thing, because you have to watch, you have to see this stuff.
Yeah.
You have to see what's going on. You're tracking these guys, what they do. It's just creepy. And again, I only bring this story up because obviously it's World of Stupid, but it's something where you just don't know what people are doing behind closed doors, whether you think you know them or not.
The only time I came encounter with it, Ed, I was the first responder. I was first. So I didn't have to investigate it. And I was so thankful. I saw it. I saw the pictures. I saw the VHSs. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have to investigate it and watch that.
Yeah, I didn't either. I'd spent a long time in the detective bureau, but it never worked in special victims. And I was very happy about that.
Dun, 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 dun.
Never wanted to worry. I get that because, like I said, just responding to these things was bad enough. But having to, dig deeper is like, no thanks.
I don't know how you erase the memories of seeing that. And
I don't know how to erase the memories of any of the things I've seen.
Well, you haven't. No, you haven't. That stuff's buried, my friend.
Yeah, it is.
It's in there. You know it's in there. There's so much like PTSD that you have, both of you guys, from being police officers and seeing the things that you've seen.
The older you get, the more it comes out because, your mortality becomes real. And then you start thinking about some of the things that happened back then. You're like, I told you my first accident was a decapitation. And it never really affected me until probably about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Just I can't unsee it now.
I think I cut in half by a subway train in 34th and 8th.
Ugh. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do they bring one body bag for that? Or is it two separate ones?
They conserve.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not like
the consolidated.
I am not trying to be a jerk.
You don't have to try. You just naturally.
This is every day. I mean, the same priest. I had a guy jump out of the Woodstock Hotel. Blazing hot sunny day, blue sky, you can't miss it. The body's here, skull's crushed, his eyeballs way over there. Flew right out of his head. If I thought about this stuff, I'd never sleep.
Well, speaking of disgusting, torture, being horrified, I bring this up every year. You remember looking this up last year, I'm assuming, too.
I know who you're going to talk about. Yeah.
Extreme haunted house, McCamey Manor, refuses to close despite complaints of violent and traumatizing practices. Any of you guys like haunted houses?
No. I don't like haunted houses. I don't like haunted movies. I don't like haunted people. I don't like any of that stuff.
I like them. I wouldn't do that, though.
I don't want to say I like being scared. It's that there's an adrenaline rush when that happens.
Yeah.
It's hard to scare me. Like, in that, like, boo!
You get startled.
Yeah, exactly.
I was in the torture museum in London, walking through, and they have people jump out at you.
Really?
Yeah.
And you're not expecting that.
You're not expecting it, so you jump for sure.
Well, with this story, if you guys don't know McCamey Manor, it's basically, he used to offer 10 grand or 20 grand for people to finish this haunted house, except there's no end in sight. They just keep torturing you until you quit.
Yeah.
And I don't know that anyone's ever been paid. You get on a waiting list. And I mean, I'm talking, you're getting waterboarded. They're burying you alive. They're doing all kinds of stuff, shoving you in mud, make you eat cat food and dog food, like disgusting things. And you signed off to let them do it. I don't know how this still goes on. Like, I remember being told, don't touch the actors, the people at the haunted house. Yeah. They're not going to hurt you. I'm like, well, now you tell me that. Now I'm not the least bit scared, but. It is something too. Like, look at the picture. They tortured this girl. Look at her face. Now she's one that's smiling at the end. But they painted her up. Mm. They did all the, like, who knows what else they were doing. Mm. Well, you like that? I mean, she's got a ball gag.
She has
in
a
her
ball
mouth.
Gag in her mouth.
Never mind. Here's Here's another guy being tortured. I'll show you guys the pictures. I'll retweet this so people can see it. But if you look up McCamey Manor on YouTube, you'll see the video of all the things they do to him and how scared these people get.
But, you know, it's like, what was the restaurant you went to and they insulted you?
Oh,
Dick's Cafe?
No, it's Dick's Cafe.
Dick's Cafe? And
Dick's Last Resort.
Dick's Last Resort.
Yeah, Dick's Halfway In is last night.
Dick's Last Resort. When you go in and you're insulted?
Yeah, you're
expected to be. Why do you get upset? You knew what was going to happen when you went in.
You know the thing that pisses me off is when they throw your food down and they take one of your french fries. Look, say what you want to me. Don't touch my damn food. Joey doesn't share food. Touch my fries? It's assault, brother. But yeah, that's your World of Stupid.
Thank you very much. 410-583-1057 is the number. College football recap at 8:30. Mike Preston joins us to talk all about the Baltimore Ravens. His little preview up next on The Fan.